All right, well, good evening. How are y'all doing? We are good, yes, praise the Lord. We're blessed. Welcome those of us here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. And standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, that when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Oh, anybody have a pick of him this evening? Victory in Jesus, that's a good one. Oh, that's okay, I can look it up. Victory in Jesus, 353. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. Amen. Any other pick of hymns this evening? Going once, going twice? Yeah. You thinking of one? Sweet By and By? Yeah. That's a good one. Oh, okay. 778. Thank you. That makes it easy. All right. Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Next thing we got up, we got men's fundraising fish fry. Yep. This Saturday,
yep.
12 to 4, okay? Going to have fried catfish, is that the game?
Catfish.
And hush puppies, coleslaw, beans, all right, amen. So that's what's going on this Saturday. Tell your friends and neighbors, fish fry at the church, 12 to 4. Catfish, hush puppies. Anything deep fat fried is good.
Yeah, right, that's right.
Get some Oreos, throw some cornmeal on them, chunk them in the... Yeah, man. I think you got to use a little bit different. I think you have to use a flour-based batter, not cornmeal for that. But I'd probably eat one with cornmeal. It don't matter to me. Oreo's Oreo.
I don't know. It tastes good with cornmeal, bro.
Hey, man, corn is just another form of sugar. I mean, it all going to end up the same spot. All right, let's see here. We got that. And Sunday morning during the a.m. service, we have our Lord's Supper. Amen. So communion service. So that'll be going on this Sunday. And so those are the two announcements I know about. Anything else? Anything else? Other announcements? All right, let's think about our praises tonight. I got a text from Vince, and we'll say it's about 4 o'clock today. And he gave me the word that Terry was in his car. Amen. So he had just picked her up at the airport, I want to say probably around 3:30-ish, something like that. I'd gotten a text the night before, I think, that she had made it into Poland. And I think from Poland then to the U.S., you know, it was pretty smooth sailing. But to get out of the country, they were shuffling them Samaritans purse people around because you had all them cruise missiles and things coming in. And wow. So I haven't called or texted. I'm sure she's got a little jet lag,
yeah,
and a little trip lag from being gone as long as she's been gone. So we'll just wait for her to kind of come, you know, filter back into church. Then we'll talk to her, see if she can give us some testimony things and let us know how it went. But Terry Kimball is home in Tomball land. Amen. So that's praise. And then another praise, we had some visitors on Sunday. So that was a good deal. And of course, we got our visitor with us here tonight, Frank. And so we're always blessed to have visitors. Any other praises? Any other praises? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Lita went to an eye doctor to get a follow-up checkup. She's not quite where she needs to be on healing, so they're going to give her another week of all those antibiotics and stuff for her eyes. But she can go back to work tomorrow, so that's the praise. But she still has to be really careful. She got another follow-up next week. But everything is looking good so far.
So can she drive like that?
Yeah.
She can drive, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Lita, released to work. Amen, amen. Released to work. Any other praises? Anybody else? All right, well, let's think about these prayer requests. I'll tell you what I got, and if you need to add to it, we can. Don Hartz, that's Dorothy's husband, lived down there in, what's that thing place called down there? Where you live, Jeremiah?
Oh, Pinedale.
Pinedale. Lived down there in Pinedale, down there on the left, heading out that way to Magnolia. Don is in St. Luke's in the Vintage, and he is in ICU suffering from pneumonia and kidney failure. So we want to pray for Don and certainly his wife, Dorothy, tonight, Don and Dorothy Hartz. And then Colin Holder, Loopy's stepson, he's having some mental health issues. So we want to be in prayer for Colin tonight. Let's pray for his safety. Pray that he gets the help he needs. Amen. So we'll pray for Colin tonight. And then we want to lift up our students and our staff. Public schools had Columbus Day off, but our guys get the whole week called fall break. So they off on fall break this week. So pray for our students and staff that they'd be safe during their fall break. I want to continue for Miss Alita, her eye to continue to heal up, as Ronnie mentioned. I want to continue to pray for the country of Ukraine as they are really facing some offensive weaponry from Russia, targeting civilians and all kinds of stuff. So pray for Ukraine. Continue to pray for Samaritan's Purse over there in the midst of that. We want to continue to pray for rain. We're starting to really need some, right? So hopefully we get some. They could get some tonight. Might get some in the morning. Maybe we pray we get a big rain. Amen. Want to continue to pray for the upcoming elections soon and very soon, right around the corner. Have they opened early voting yet? No? 24th is early voting. All right, early voting is the 24th. Pray for our president, pray for our government, pray for our shut-ins. Continue to pray for Ronnie Holman in his cancer fight. Those of you with unspoken, anybody with unspoken spoken requests? And then Stephanie has a second interview with an employer. She's had one interview. She got a second callback interview. It's going to be a panel of four people interviewing her over, I think it's over the computer. Yeah, that's how they do all that stuff today. So going to be a panel interview over the computer. What do you call that? Live stream? Zoom meeting, something like that, yeah. It's a very large bank. It's a hybrid position, 2 days work from home, 3 days go to work. But it's a big drive down to the Gallup. down to the Galleria. Got to go down to the Galleria. So anyway, but where is she, if she gets the job, where she would work, it's not even a, they don't even have a bank there. It's like a general office for a large bank in the United States. So anyway, let's be in prayer for that. And then Lillian has tested positive for the flu. So she started the Tamiflu today. And so thankful for Dr. Carr seeing my kid with no insurance. That's a great doctor, man. That's a great doctor. And so praise the Lord for him, man. Well, I don't know. We didn't test her last time she was sick. She was just sick. But she's been running fever for a good 2 days. And so Stephanie took her to Dr. Carr, and he tested her for the flu. We tested her for COVID last night. Negative for COVID. So took her in, had her tested for flu.
Is that a difficult test?
The flu test? I don't.
COVID.
Oh, COVID? Piece of cake. Yeah, just you just got to shove it up your nose and twist that thing around. It tickles, makes your eyes kind of water. I don't enjoy it. Yeah, I don't enjoy it, but it's an easy test. Easy test. So anyway, she's on the Tamiflu, and hopefully she gets well. She missed her PSAT test, which was today, and she said she's running fever. I said, we can't go. Let's go climb back in bed. So anyway, pray for Lily and get well. She's but she had gone to the football game on Friday, and we didn't go pick her up because, I mean, you know, football game used to be in my backyard. You know, you walk home. Now football game is 25 minutes away on the highway. So if she can catch a ride, we let her catch a ride. So she caught a ride with some friends, and both of them are homesick with the flu.
Wait, she went to the football game?
Yeah, she went to the Tomball football game.
And that's how she got sick?
Yeah, coming home with some friends that were already sick. Yeah. But, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. All right, anything else? Bobby's got something. What do you got, Bobby? Penny Honaker. All right, sick. Lift her up. What you got, Jane?
Well, I got Kevin. He's got bad. His teeth are killing him. He's got
okay.
Toothaches, man. Going to the dentist tomorrow, but, boy, his teeth are bad. They probably all need pulled out.
Uh-oh.
That's how bad they are.
All right.
And pay for my mother and her hips, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, she's doing okay, but it's just a little pain. And I do want to pray for Jessica Thornhill. And what's her boyfriend's name? What's your boyfriend's name?
Jessica and Jeremiah.
Because I seen them on the motorcycle, and I know they're having a good time.
No helmets.
Ooh. But when
something
gets on my mind like that, I just pray for them to get back home safely. That's all I want them to get back.
They're
home.
Out tonight?
Yes. And I just want them back home safely. So it's just on my mind, and the Lord says lift them up, and that's what I'm doing, brother.
All right, man.
Amen.
Oh, man, yeah. I have nightmares. I have nightmares. You ever have nightmares of things you used to do when you were a kid?
Oh, I do. Sure he does. I know he does. That's why I lift her up.
I have a one of our volunteer Christian builders, Carl Herring. I think we talked about him before. Had some heart issues, but yeah. He's now going in for surgery on his trach.
Oh, wow.
And depending on how his recovery is, he may end up having to quit his pastoral position. And
what's the guy's name again?
Carl Herring.
Carl Herring.
Barry knows him. Barry, he did your mother's funeral.
Oh, my goodness. Carl Herring.
He was, yeah, Carl is, your mother, Barry, is Carl's aunt. Yeah. So
out at the Veterans Cemetery?
Yes, sir.
That was Carl?
Same person, Carl Herring.
Carl Herring.
He lives up around
East Texas?
Round Top or something like that.
Yeah.
Carl Herring. It's your mother's sister's boy.
Mother's sister's boy.
So Miss Virginia was his aunt.
Huh. So
he did your mother's funeral service.
We're gonna pray for him.
Yeah, we gotta pray for him anyway.
Gonna have a trachea surgery.
But he
I had no idea.
He is a pastor up there in up toward Dallas area, Austin area, whatever.
I had no idea he was with Texas Volunteer Christian Builders. Yeah.
That was a pretty emotional time, Barry. You might be.
Oh, different pastor. Edwin Finley. We'll pray for Carl.
Amen.
Anything else? Yeah, Bobby. Stacy needs work. Okay, man. J-O-B. You got it. Anything else? All right, let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name. We thank you that we can lift these praises up on high. We are thankful that Miss Terry has made it back home, Lord, and she's back in the States and back in the great state of Texas, back here in Tomball, Lord. We pray for her rest and just recuperation of strength and sleep and everything, Lord, that goes with that. Just help her bounce back, Lord, and help her just get back going. It's going to take a couple days, maybe even a week. Lord, we just lift her up, pray you just give her great sleep, great rest, and Lord, just help her reconnect with the grandkids, reconnect with her husband, reconnect with her mom there at the house, and Lord, we just pray you bring everything back together as it was, and Lord, just help her keep on keeping on. We are thankful for visitors on Sunday, Lord. We praise you for that. We pray you continue to send visitors, Lord. Thank you that people come and join us for worship and join us for Bible study. Lord, we just pray that continue. You just continue to open the floodgates, people needing a Bible preaching, Jesus-loving church, Lord. Help them find us, God, in this lot of churches around the area market, Lord. We pray you send folks that are really hungry to hear your word and worship you. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Alita and this release to go back to work and this eye healing up. Lord, we go ahead and lift that up to you tonight, that eye would continue to heal and would catch back up where it needs to be, Lord, and as she goes back to the doctor here in a few more days or weeks, Lord, it be just right where it needs to be. So we lift that eye up, and we're thankful that she can go back to work. We give you praise for that. Lord, we pray you continue to help her. So we think about these prayer needs, Lord. We lift up Stacy and this needing employment, Lord, needing a job. We pray that you just open the door, give her wisdom, discernment. Lord, help her know when it's the right one. Lord, we pray that you just connect her with a good employer, a good job, a good situation. We just lift Stacy up to you tonight. We lift up Carl Herring to you tonight, Lord, and we're praying for this impending surgery on his trachea. Lord, we pray that you would just guide the surgeon's hands and, Lord, that his voice box and everything, vocal cords, would remain intact and nothing would be harmed there. But, Lord, they'd be able to perform the surgery and do what needs to be done. We lift up Penny Honaker to you and her health. We pray you touch her body, bring healing to her, help her through the sickness that she's struggling with right now. We lift up Kevin to you tonight, Lord, and his dental issues, his teeth problems. Pray, Lord, that the dentist can do him right and help him out, and, Lord, take care of those teeth and get those teeth where they need to be, or or give him other options for that. We lift up Jeanette to you and her hip pain. Lord, we pray that you might ease that and give her relief and give her rest tonight. We lift up Jessica and Jeremiah, Lord, as they're out on the motorcycle. And when they get out on the motorcycle, we're praying for safety. Praying, Lord, that you just make their path straight. And, Lord, just praying that you keep them upright on that big old Harley-Davidson, Lord. We lift them up to you tonight. Lord, we lift up Don Hartz to you in ICU, struggling with pneumonia and kidney failure. We pray for Dorothy as she worries about her husband and is troubled about his health. Lord, we pray that you might give Don the grace he needs to walk through the valley of the shadow, Lord. And, Father God, we pray he not suffer. We pray he not linger. Lord, we pray that you just touch his body and bring healing. Or, Lord, you give him that ultimate healing and call him on home to you. But Lord, we pray for Dorothy as she thinks about all those prospects and all the emotion that's tied up to being with Don over all these years. We just pray that you just be there right there in the midst of what she's going through with Don. I lift up Colin to you tonight, Lord. We're praying for his mental health issues. Praying, Lord, that you touch his mind. And Lord, just give him clarity of thought. Lord, we pray you would ease some of the manic highs. And Lord, you would ease some of the depressive lows. And Lord, you just bring some balance to this young man's life. Help him with what he's struggling with. And Lord, we pray if he needs professional help. Father God, if he needs to be admitted, we pray that you might open the door to that. Ultimately, Lord, we're praying for old Colin's salvation. Praying this might be a crossroads for him, Lord, to get to the end of himself and to look up and see the gospel hand reaching down to him. So, Lord, we pray that in the midst of all this, he might get saved. We pray for Lupi as she seeks to witness to him. But, Lord, other family members are not for God or for the gospel. So, Lord, we just pray that you be in the midst of all that as we pray. We pray in the gospel. We pray he'd get saved. We pray that he'd face grace. He would face conviction of his sin. And, Lord, he'd make the right decision. So, Lord, we pray for safety for our students and our staff as they experience their fall break this week. Lord, I pray it be a restful week for them, Lord. Help them to come back rested and ready to go until Thanksgiving. Lord, we are praying, continually praying for Ukraine and for Samaritan's Purse and for the people of Ukraine. And, Lord, just the situation over there, we're praying that you'd heal it, that you would drive out the aggressor, that Putin would somehow be able to back off of this, find a way to get out, save face somehow, some way. Lord, we're just praying that you would intervene. You're a big God. We know you can do it, Lord. You're the God of healing. You're the God of creation. You're the God that made all this. So, Lord, we're just lifting up Ukraine to you and praying for help. Lord, we're praying for rain around here as things start to get dry. We pray that tonight might be the night that we get some showers of blessing. And Lord, even some more in the morning. Just bring it on. The weather only shows maybe 40% chance, but Lord, we pray you might double that and add some more to it and just rain this place up here in the next 24, 48 hours. We just give you glory and praise for it. Lord, the land needs it. The ground wants it. And so, Lord, we just pray you might see fit to pour it out upon us and give it to us. Lifting up these upcoming elections come November and early voting starting just in a week or so from now. Lord, we pray for the Christians across this country, across this land, to stand up, to buckle up, to drive, to vote, to mail it in, punch it, twist it, whatever has to happen, Lord, to cast a vote. We pray a Christian conscience would be voted. And Lord, there would be a referendum on sin. And there would be a referendum on running amok. And Lord, you would just infuse the different state houses and the U.S. House and Senate and everything else up for election, different governor places. Lord, you just infuse it with some of your Christians to make some positive change for the gospel. So God, we're lifting up these elections coming up here in November. As we continue to pray for the government, we pray for our president. Lift him up, his cabinet, Lord. Help them make best, wise decisions, Lord, for the protection of religious liberty and for the furtherance of your gospel here in these United States and around the world. Lord, we're praying for inflation. We're praying for this fuel crisis with OPEC. Praying, Lord, that you might get a hold of this and, Lord, do what needs to be done to make it right. We're lifting up our shut-ins tonight to you. And, Lord, we're praying for their comfort, for their peace, for their help in time of trouble. Watch over them. Be with them, Lord. May the live stream be a blessing to them. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight, Lord, and we're praying for his healing from his cancer. Thank you that he's receiving this chemotherapy. We pray the chemotherapy would do what it's supposed to do and would bring healing to his body. Lord, many have held up a hand tonight for unspokens, and Lord, we pray that as they voice those to you now silently, that, Lord, you hear us, you take those unspoken requests, and where we don't know how to intercede, you make intercession on our behalf. Thank you that you're sovereign and in control. And then, Lord, as we think about Miss Stephanie and, Lord, her patience and diligence to look just about each and every day for a job, we pray that you might reward her efforts and, Lord, give her good employment. Open the door. Lord, give her wisdom and discernment if this upcoming interview is the one. Lord, we pray there be an offer. And Lord, if it's the one, we pray you give her discernment to step through that door and to take that job. Lord, we just lift her up. We lift up Lillian to you, Lord, and her flu. And we just pray this Tamiflu would do its job and knock that thing out and get her going back. And so, Lord, we just pray you help Lily with her health. And be with the rest of us, Lord, as we think about the Bible tonight. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can be in it. We just praise you and we love you for all the blessings of life tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, yes, sir. Mary Haygood. Okay. Yes. All right. Amen. Okay. With the Volunteer Christian Builders. Okay. Amen. Very good. Well, I got another handout for you. And I apologize for the size of the print. This is the biggest paper as we got here at the church and school. Okay? And it's just illegal. It's 11 by 14. Is that everybody back there? 11 by 14. 11 by 14. Oh, yeah. All right. Amen. And so this is the deal. We're going to go over it a little bit tonight. Now, if you've got readers on, you can probably make most of it out. Okay? I can't. If I take my readers off, there's no way I can read it. Did I give you one, Frank? I did give you one. All right, amen. And I've got a few extras for those that come on Sunday. Now, hey, this is the deal. Sunday night, when we come together Sunday night, I'm going to help Jeremiah find a link to a video on the YouTube that explains this handout that you have. And so it'll be up on the Jumbotron. We'll move the pulpit out of the way. It's about an 8-minute video. But I wanted you to just see it. I thought it was well done. I continue to try to dig things up and research things out for Leviticus. But two things I'll just draw your attention to is the top left corner where it says Leviticus 1:1, the Lord called to Moses. Note it has bold there in outline, from the tent. Amen? From the tent. You jump over to the far right, it says the Lord spoke to Moses in Numbers 1:1 in the tent. So we went from the tent to in the tent, amen? Which means what? Leviticus did its job, amen? Leviticus took care of it, right? So Moses basically writes Leviticus from outside the tent, right? He's receiving God's word from outside the tent on Leviticus. When they implement all of this stuff in Leviticus, he finally gets Numbers 1:1. He gets back in the tent of meeting. Amen? I thought that was a good thing. And you'll notice there's kind of in the background of all these little boxes, there's a rope or a cord that ties those two circles together all the way down. But if you look, you've got three boxes on the left. You've got looks like seven or four boxes on the right. And then you've got that middle box in the middle bottom, 16 and 17, the Day of Atonement, right? So ritual sacrifices 1 through 7. If you'll go over to the far right, you've got ritual feast 23 through 25. Come down to the next row, you've got chapters 8 through 10, priests ordained. If you go to the far right, you've got chapter 21 and 22, qualifications for the priest. You come down to the bottom left, you've got ritual purity where it's got all that black there. Ritual purity, if you go over to the far right, 18 through 20, you got moral purity, right? And so all of that kind of bookends 16 and 17, which is the Day of Atonement. Amen? Are y'all with me on that? I thought it was a good... And if I find another good one, I'll try to get it to you. Right? But we'll leave that. I'll take that back to my office, and then if anybody wants a copy. Frank, can you jive with it? Can you get it? You can read it. All right, amen. Take your Bibles. We'll read Philippians tonight as we close out what we're trying to cover on burnt offerings. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, Philippians chapter 2. We referred to this on Sunday evening and read it, but we'll go ahead and read it again. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Amen, amen? Yep, yep. Those of you with us online, good to have you. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Right? Verse 7, "But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Right? Amen. And so we read that passage because when we talk about these connections, a connection of principles, that's really what we're dealing with, is the person and work of Christ. What did we cover last time? Well, we ended last time talking about the burnt offering and the New Testament saint. All right, we said Jesus, the Lamb of God. We talked about the burnt offering was symbolic in the sense that it represented and portrayed in advance the ultimate burnt offering, Jesus Christ. And then, as I just mentioned, we got into these connection of principles. All right, we said we hit that one more time, that principle of man's depravity. We said in any instance, when an Israelite wanted to approach God, to worship Him, to be accepted by Him, he had to come with this what? With this burnt offering, thus acknowledging and making provision for his sinfulness, right? And we're not talking about specific sins because it's not a sin offering, it's a burnt offering, but we're talking about man's sinful nature. We're talking about man's depravity. And so we said last Sunday night, we ought not to forget our own depravity, which is what most Western mainstream Christianity religious stuff wants you to forget. They want you to forget your depravity. But I think we stay grounded if we remember where we come from. Remember where we come from and focus on where we're going. I think we stay grounded. Amen? Amen? So the principle of depravity, how does that principle apply to Christians today? Well, the truth is that Christ died once for all, amen? Once for all for our sins. But the truth is also that we will not be freed, as we said last Sunday night, from sin's presence until we're in the presence of God with transformed bodies. Wesleyanism, am I saying that right? Wesleyanism teaches perfection, that you and I can obtain perfection. I don't think the Bible teaches that one bit. I think the Bible teaches us we can be more like Christ each and every day, but to be spiritually perfect, that happens when we get a what? Glorified body. Amen? So, our present condition is the reason that the wages of sin is death, right? But when we enter into heaven, for those of us that are saved, the penalty of death, we've escaped. Amen? So even though we die physically, spiritually we remain alive. And per Paul's epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the most beautiful passage on a resurrected body mean you're going to have one. Make sense? Amen? Because we are still corrupted by sin, we need to suspect, we need to scrutinize our every motive, we need to be introspective about our actions, we need to realize that whether we are witnessing or whether we are preaching or whether we are serving or whatever we're doing, quote, for the Lord, we can appear to be pious, we can appear to be religious, but sometimes we do these things prompted by not very good motives, but by selfish motives, right? We need to realize that we are in need of the present intercession and mediation of Christ. And it's okay in your prayer time to ask Jesus to do that for you. Lord, you pray for me. I'm here a struggling, Lord. Might you pray for me? Might you intercede on my behalf, Lord, with this situation here, right? Just give him the situation, right? We need him every hour. Sometimes we need him every moment. Amen? Yes, yes. The only reason why we can approach God is due to the sacrificial work of Christ. And that's where Philippians 2, 5 through 11 comes in. But the beauty about Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is that first verse in verse 5 of that section where it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then I gave that to you in two other translations. In the Contemporary English Version, it says, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Man, the only way that's going to happen is through prayer and Bible study and through worship and through fellowship. Amen? That's the only way that thing's going to happen. And then Philippians 2:5, it says in the King James Version, let this mind, that is a huge statement, let this mind, attitude, think, right, in you. Now, that was the connection principle, the principle of man's depravity. But now we come to another principle. And what's that? That's the principle of doing it right. You know, did your dad ever tell you that? Anybody's dad ever tell them? My dad told me that. Son, if you're going to do it, do it. Do it right. Amen. I mean, if you're going to do it right. The principle of doing it right. You can tell God the Father is the Father. Amen. Because he wants it done right. Amen. The principle of doing it right. If the Israelite learned anything from the meticulous rules and regulations which God laid down for the burnt offering and all the rest of the offerings, then it was that he, God, is a very particular God about the way men approach him, about how people come to him. Does that make sense? Yes, yes? In other words, there's a right way to approach God. Hallelujah. There's a right way. The rebellious nature, though, of fallen man inclines him to want to approach God his own way. Which was, where did that start out? Was that Cain? Yeah. Cain wanted to just change it up a little bit and do it his own way. That's a characteristic, we mentioned it on Sunday, of what? Wanting to do it our own way. That's characteristic of one of those isms, right? There's a bunch of isms we're dealing with today. Sinism. Oh, I like it, Frank, yeah. It's a characteristic of pragmatism, where we create God in our own image. We make him out to be who we want, right? We take a little from here, a little from there. We borrow and beg a little over here. And man, we justify our actions and justify our sin. And we approach God just any old way. I know you've heard of people on TV and different interviews talk about the man upstairs. Friend, how irreverent can it get? The man upstairs. Well, he's not the man upstairs. He's the God of creation. Amen. The God of, well, you know, me and the man upstairs, you know, we're like this. Are you really now? Yeah. Are you really? Yeah, I don't know, right? The rebellious nature of fallen man inclines him to want to approach God his own way, which is a characteristic of pragmatism. Who, yeah, you guys are going to have to help me out. I think I know I think I know. I didn't write it down. I didn't type it in, but I think I know. I did it my way. Frank Sinatra. That song illustrates the tendency, doesn't it? I did it my way, yeah? God did not allow men to approach him their own way, but rather only in accordance with the means that he himself established. Men could only approach God by means of the tabernacle, by means of the priesthood, and by means of the sacrifice. You want to come worship? That's how you're going to come worship. Today, humanity, we call it men, or we call it men and women, or we call it humanity. Today, humanity can only come to God God's way. Yes, yes? Through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, who is the builder of our temple, which the tabernacle was a foreshadowing of, who is the sacrificial lamb who died for our sins. It's the same thing in the old and the new. You just got Jesus there as the center of it. The old was looking forward to him. Amen? Makes sense? But that's how we get to approach God. Our Lord conveyed the exclusiveness of his death as the way to God in the great Gospel of John, where he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So if you wish to approach God, to be assured of the forgiveness of your sins, and to dwell in the presence forever, you got to do what? You've got to go through faith in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to earth and died in your place. Yes, yes? No other way is acceptable with God, and no other way can you be found acceptable in Him. That brings me to another principle, the principle of acceptance with God, as we mentioned that, acceptance with God. There's a great deal of emphasis these days on self-acceptance or self-esteem, most of which is wrongly oriented. Contemporary self-esteem looks inward for acceptance, while the Bible tells us that the ultimate acceptance we must seek is God's acceptance. You see the difference there, right? The world tells you to accept yourself. The Bible tells you to accept God. See the difference? Yes, yes? Amen? People today want to feel good about themselves. That's obvious. By looking for the good which is in them, while God's Word tells us that we're not good, right? In and of ourselves, we're not good. In and of ourselves, we're not good, but we must look for God's favor, which is occasioned by something outside of ourselves. That ultimately, in something which our sin put to death. That thing outside of ourselves is the sacrifice for our sins. That thing outside of ourselves is the gospel. That thing outside of ourselves is God's free gift. That thing outside of ourselves is the grace we don't deserve. It's the mercy that we don't deserve. But it's what He's offered us because of His love. But it's outside of ourselves. We have to bring it in. We have to receive it. We have to quit denying it and allow it to take us over. Yes, yes. Amen, amen. But today we're told from pulpit and pulpit that we must first feel good about ourselves. That we must first love ourselves. And then we will be able to love God. But that is so opposite from Scripture. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. Such a lie. The Bible tells us that we cannot. The Bible tells us that we should not accept ourselves until God has accepted us. And then once God has accepted us and the Holy Spirit is inside us, then there we go. And we can finally accept ourselves. Amen, amen. The bottom line is that the Bible portrays God's acceptance, the highest good of all, and that mankind and that making great sacrifice, The bottom line is that the Bible portrays God's acceptance as the highest good of all, and that making great sacrifice is worth the price to attain God's favor. So, let us see God's approval as our highest good, and let us forsake all, including self-seeking and self-love, in order to obtain God's approval, which is the wrong way to obtain God's approval and favor in the first place. We want to get that thing out of reverse and get that thing going forward, right? We want to come to God first. We want to seek His favor, not our favor. Yes, yes, amen? So, it is in our death in Christ that God is well pleased. It is in giving up our life that we gain life. And as Christians, no motive should be stronger than that of pleasing God, of hearing Him say one day, of hearing Him say your name one day, and hearing Him look you in your restorative, beautiful new body and your face and your holy glow, in Him embracing you and looking you eye to eye, man to man or man to woman, whoever you are, Him looking at you and saying to you as He embraces you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Well, that's three principles there. The principle of man's depravity we covered on Sunday night, the principle of doing it right, and the principle of acceptance with God. I'll give you one more principle, we'll call it good. The principle of atonement through the shedding of blood. There was a big push. I don't know exactly when it started, but there was a big push. I think it was before my time. A big push that it wasn't liberal theology. They were moving away from the blood of Christ. You people talk about communion. You want to talk about the Lord's Supper. Man, you want to get out things that represent blood. You're driving people away. You're driving people. You've got to clean this up. It's really about Jesus' life. It's really about Jesus' life, blood. What it's about. Yeah. That's what it was in the Old Testament, is the blood of that animal, right? I mean, that animal's fine. That animal's fine. You know, you put your hand on that animal all day long. That animal's fine standing there. You know, you can symbolize your sins on that animal. But once that blade crosses those carotid arteries in that animal's neck, it ain't fine no more, right? Because what? The blood's coming out of that animal, which is the life in the animal, right? And so the principle of atonement through the shedding of blood. The sinful state of man is dealt with by the shedding of innocent blood, the blood of a sacrificial victim. The burnt offering communicates and illustrates this principle of atonement, and that principle is fulfilled in who? Fulfilled in who? Yes. Fulfilled in Jesus. Full stop. All right. We didn't run off the runway. That was a good landing. Amen? Let's pray. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You, Lord. We covered four of these principles of connections, or three. Reviewed one from Sunday night and covered three here tonight. Ended with a short one on atonement, Lord, but we're going to say so much more about atonement when we get to chapter 16 and 17 of Leviticus. Thank You for Your study tonight, Lord. We pray that we would have folks come back on Sunday night to pick it back up, and those online to check back in. And Lord, we pray folks will get something out of it, and we just praise You and thank You for it. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. I was reading one old commentary today, and it was talking about how Leviticus is a book that Christians ought to know, but it is the way this one Bible teacher was saying it. So I was reading it, it's like planned obsolescence. Planned obsolescence. Planned obsolescence. It's obsolete, Leviticus. You don't have to bring the bulls and the goats, but it was all planned. Amen. Planned obsolescence. It's kind of like when they went to the moon, right? Planned obsolescence. We're going to leave that thing behind, right? It got us here, but we can't take it back with us. Planned obsolescence, right? They do that when they make these cars. Planned obsolescence, right? They only make that car to last so long, right? And you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you know, and then it's what? It's obsolete. You got to have what? You got another car. Yeah, tires, planned obsolescence, right? Alternators, planned obsolescence. Yes. Thank you, online folks. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great evening. Amen. Anything else, folks? All right. I left my outlines up there.